The Lord has something for us. Turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter number 21. Exodus chapter number 21. My girls are smiling, so they're like, whatever. It's all relative, right? That's another whole message right there. But Exodus chapter number 21, and beginning reading in verse number 1. Exodus 21, verse number 1. And brother, what time approximately normally? Just whatever the Lord leads. I mean, okay. Just amen, amen. I like it. All right, let's go back to Genesis 1:1 then. No. Exodus 21, verse 1 says this: Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go up by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons and daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. And with that, reading that scripture, kind of want to preach on this thought tonight. Whose mark do you have? Whose mark do you bear tonight? When the world looks at you and I, or even God's people, what do they see? Do they see Christ? Do they see the mark of a changed life, a visible outward difference in your life that people can say, hey, there's something different about that person there? Or do we just fit in too well and nobody could tell the difference? And with that thought in mind, we'll let's have one more word of prayer. Father, we come to you once more in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, I thank you so much, Lord, for Pastor Barry, and I thank you for his family. I thank you for Valley Avenue Baptist Church here in Falls City, Nebraska. Lord, I just thank you for what you've done here. Lord, it's wondrous. It's a wonderful work what you have done. And Lord, to see, Lord, how you have just taken this church and used it as a lighthouse to proclaim the gospel and see people's lives turn to you and saved, and then Lord's being able to study and learn and grow. It has been such a thrill to see what you have done here through these people. And Lord, I pray you would continue to use them in a mighty way. Help this message to be an encouragement to someone. Lord, I know this, that each one of us have ups and downs, highs and lows, mountaintops and valleys. And Lord, tonight there might just be someone kind of going down through the valley. I pray you give some encouragement to them, just to never give up, to never quit. And God, we want to see you fresh and new. We pray that you do this. We'll give you all the credit in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in Exodus chapter 21, to kind of know where we're at, I mean, if you've read your Bible some, I know you get good preaching here, but you back up just a few chapters, we find out in the first part of Exodus, obviously the word, meaning to come out of, God's people have now been delivered from the bondage of Egypt. And as they have been delivered in the first 12, 13 chapters or so, they finally come out of that. And what a great picture of salvation, how someone's life is in bondage of sin, and then how that blood applied, right? And then that forgiveness of sins and being able to come out of that, what a great picture. And how God then set them on a journey, set them on a path to have a victorious Christian life. And as you continue to read, you see it's really a great example, even a babe in Christ, someone who just gets saved, how they stumble, how they fall. If you watch and you read through the Exodus and up to this chapter here, you'll find that several times they gripe and moan and complain, right? And if you start reading, I remember as a kid reading the Old Testament and having to study it for school, and then hearing people preach about it, and all they did was murmur and complain. I'm thinking, my goodness, why doesn't God just take them out? Then I got a little older and I realized we're all the same way. We have the same temperament. We have the same attitude many times when we have these ups and we have these downs. And now God has taken them from a life of bondage, set them on a path to victorious Christian living. And He's bringing them to a place, that land that floweth with milk and honey. But on the journey, He's going to set some things in place to allow them to help them get there. And just a chapter or two before, we find the, you know, with the Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments that are given, and these special these commandments are special in a way. They were set and to give some order to God's people and how they ought to treat one another, how they ought to treat God Himself. And you get to chapter 21, and we start getting into these civil matters. As he starts laying down some order that he wants his people to deal with each other. And can I just say it like this, that God's people should deal with each other different from the world dealing with the world people. When we got a problem in the church, we got a problem amongst our family, amongst Christians, it ought to be dealt with that way. It shouldn't be drug out in the public eye and drug through the ringer and just make God look bad. I mean, we all got issues. We understand that. But we can deal with it differently than the world does. And so God sets some things in place. And one of the first things He does, He says this in verse number 1, "Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them." So God tells His man, Moses here, He says, "I'm going to give you some of these things. And the first thing I want you to do is how they're to treat a master and a servant." Now, I do understand this, and if you study your Bible, you'll know this, that the master-servant relationship was different than what we have. It is somewhat like a employer-employee, but even different than that, because many of the servants would come and stay with the master. And there would be different circumstances that why they would come and stay with this master. If you study it out, I've read several accounts of different reasons why. Some of it would be if you were in financial debt. I mean, it's debt so high that you're going to lose everything you got. And so what you would do is there would be people available. There would be masters available, if you will, that would be willing to take someone in and put them to work. And they would pretty much, this is how it would work out, they would serve that master for 6 years. It's almost like a contract. You're going to stay with them. You're going to do what they say. You're going to be obedient unto them as they go ahead and provide for you and they take care of you. If you had a family, they're going to help take care of that family. And as God lays down the order, you're going to serve them 6 years. But on the seventh year, that master would then come to the servant and tell him, "You have an option. You can stay. If you like it here, I'd like for you to stay. But if you don't want to stay, you have a free will. You can leave." If that servant brought a family with him, his family could go with him as he left. But if the master gave him this family, then the wife and the children would have to stay if that man wanted to leave. Now, I've not heard messages on that. I'm not going to even pretend to know all of what that meant, especially in the culture and the era back in those days. But I do understand this, is that the man had a choice whether he wanted to stay or whether he wanted to go. And it got me thinking here a while back as I read this passage a little bit more, looking into it. And I got to thinking, why would someone want to stay? And it got me thinking, maybe one day this happened. I'm sure this happened as God lays down the order. And there's an older servant who's been serving this master for several years, maybe 15, 20 years. And a younger servant walks by the master's door, and as he walks by, the master says, I need you to come on in here. I want to talk to you about something." And it's been about the end of 6 years, going into the seventh year, and that older servant kind of smiles and walks back to where they bunk, and he knows what's happening. He knows the master is going to give this younger servant an option if he wants to stay or whether he would like to go. And as the master looks at him, and no doubt he gave him the option, he says, "I remember the day I found you. I remember the day that we came and we helped you out. We brought you in. Your life was upside down. It was a wreck. It was a mess. And as we brought you in, we took care of you. In these last 6 years, I've tried to be good to you. I hope you felt like you've been treated right." And as the servant, the younger servant would be there, I mean, no doubt he's thinking in his mind, "Yeah, I mean, you have been very good to me, and I remember where I came from, and my life was just a wreck. But what you're asking me this is to make a commitment for life to be with you." And that younger servant, I can maybe imagine that he would look at the master and say, "Would you give me at least tonight to think about it? So he walks out of the office. He goes back into the where they bunk, maybe where the servants bunk together, I don't know. And maybe they had a big room of where all the servants would stay. Many times that's what would happen. And he goes back and he sits down on his bed. And he's in deep thought, and that older servant comes up and sits by him and says, "What you thinking about?" He already knew. And the younger servant looks over to the older servant who's been there 15, 20, 25 years, and he says this question: "Why have you stayed with this master? I know he's been good to us, but boy, you know, I could be free. I could do anything I want to do. I can just go out and live my life the way I want to." And as that older servant kind of chuckles maybe, and he looks at him, he goes, "How about you just let me give you some reasons why I've stayed for so long with this master?" And as the younger servant sits down and he starts to listen, the older servant starts off by saying, "I just want you to remember, I don't know if you can remember it all, but I want you to remember the day that me and the master was walking down the road and we looked down this alleyway and you're over there laying in a ditch. Your life's a wreck. Everything had been stripped from you. You hardly had any clothes on. You had nothing to your name and you've lost your family. You lost everything. And as the master looked at me, he says, why don't you go over there and see if he wants some help?" And I remember as I walked over to you and you were laying in that ditch, I offered the help from the master and you said yes, that you would submit to that help. So we brought you in. And I don't know if you remember that. Do you remember that? That younger servant looked over at him and said, "My goodness, I do remember that day. In fact, I remember not having hardly anything to my name. I mean, I was just poor and wretched and my life was a mess. And when the master, I yielded to the master and I gave my, and in essence, gave my life to that master to serve him and to submit to him. And what a blessing it was. And yes, I remember the day he came for me." And that older servant looks over and he smiles at him and says, that's the first reason right there. He came for you when nobody else wanted you. And even tonight, as I think about this, and I think about this could have very well happened amongst servants as they would have to make a choice whether they would stay with the master or not. I don't know about you, but I remember the day I got saved. I remember that day. It ought to be a time in your life when you can remember back to the day you gave your life to Jesus Christ. I want to be very clear tonight. We're not talking about work salvation. Not talking about earning your way to the master and living a perfect life. We're talking about submitting yourself, yielding yourself unto the master. He's already done all the work. As this master would have had to picking up the servant and allowed him to submit to him, he would then change that servant's life. And so the servant would have to yield himself to this master. And I just want to remember the day I was 20 years old when I got saved. I'm 43 now. This August I'll be 44. 20 years old, total train wreck. Me and Shelly were married, and a whole lot of problems. Wouldn't be together if it wasn't for God. And I had problems outside of before we were married and drugged them in. We were just lost people, raised in church, but lost. Can I just tell you, church is not good enough to change your whole life. Now, I love church, and it's a thing we ought to be faithful to the house of God. There's another whole message there, but that doesn't save you. Baptism doesn't save you. Good works don't save you. Any of that, earning our way, it doesn't save us. We know this, that Jesus died on the cross to pay for all of our sin. He done all the work. What He wants is us to yield ourselves, our hearts to Him. Now, I remember when I was 20, life upside down, when God came by my way and gave me another chance, just like this master would have done this servant. And I'd like to tell you tonight that I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's going on in your life. I know there's ups and downs, and you might be in here, and you might be saved. And I don't know people's hearts. That's between you and God. But I do know this, that if you're saved tonight, and you're going to have these times in your life, I'm just going to tell you right now, you're going to have times of doubt. You're going to have times that you wonder, should I keep pressing forward? Should I keep staying faithful to church? Should I keep serving God? And I just like to tell you, you ought to do it for this reason. He came for you when nobody else wanted you. The world took everything from you. Sin took everything from you. Marriages and heartaches and job situations. Life is going to be a wreck. And can I just tell you this? He came for you when nobody else wanted you. That'd be a good reason to stay with God. That'd be a good reason just to make up your mind tonight. You know what? I'm going to get all in with God.
I'm not going to play around. I'm not going to tiptoe around anymore. I'm not just going to barely make it to church. No, I want to get all in with God. When there's something that needs to be done at the church house, I want to be the first volunteer there. Why? Not to impress anybody here. It's because He came for me. And I don't want to serve Him for it. Because if He didn't come for you and me, all we would have to hope for would be a mild death and then go to a place called the lake of fire eventually. No hope. But it's not that way. Aren't you thankful He came for you and me? I don't have to live a life of defeat. I can live a life of victory. And I want to tell you tonight that just like the servant would have a choice to be all in with the master, that older servant looks at the younger and he says, I just want to remind you that He came for you when nobody else wanted you. But not only that, as he kind of bends his head down and he starts looking around and he starts to point out some things, he looks at that younger servant and he says this, not only did He come for you, He cares for you. When nobody else would take care of you, He took care of you. In fact, He's still taking care of you right now. And I can imagine that younger servant looking around and he starts to see the things that the master had given him. He'd given him a wife and a children. He's given him a house, a place to stay. He's helped him pay off all that debt that he owed of his past. I mean, He's forgiven him of all this stuff. I mean, He's done so much for him. And this is what he says, I not only came for you, but I care for you. And I just remind you and I tonight that if you're going to serve the Lord and there's times you're going to feel like quitting and giving up, not only did He come for you, praise the Lord that He came down to this earth, but He not only came for us, He cares for you. Aren't you thankful for that? I want you to turn your Bible, you know the verses probably, but turn to Matthew chapter 11 real quick. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 28, Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. I love this, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, understanding Jesus is talking there, I believe, look back in the passage there, I believe there was lost people He's talking to. No doubt this applies to all of us though. In application, this is what God says. Are you tired of the heavy load you're trying to bear by yourself? I came for you, but I not only just came for you, I care about you. Tonight, when you came in and you shook hands and we get around and we shake hands, and if you've been in church very long, a lot of times, we can get in a habit and a routine. And I'm not saying we should have a pouty lip dragging the floor all the time, but I do know this, that as humans, we're really good sometimes at trying to hide everything. So much so that we act like nothing's wrong and there's no weight on our shoulders and the things that we're dealing with, maybe at school, maybe at work, maybe at family life. There's something maybe tonight that you've drug in here and it's weighing you down so much. And it's been weighing on you maybe for a while. And maybe there's something in your mind. It's just so taxing that you've even had these thoughts. And I'm just going to tell you right now, every thought that runs through your mind is not a sin. All right? I believe our flesh, the devil in this world, are going to want to throw things at us to get us to think. What's wrong is when we take those things and dwell on them. And there's going to be thoughts come through your mind, and Satan himself's going to be trying to run things through your mind. Why would you keep going here? Why would you keep being faithful to God when you're having to bear this heavy load? And this is what God says, I'm right here with you. I want to get in the yoke with you. I want you to understand that you don't have to do this alone. And I don't want you to quit on me. I want you to be faithful to the end. I want you to hear this from me. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that's what God wants for you and me tonight. I don't know where you're at, don't know the load you're bearing, but I do know this, that if you've had thoughts of just quitting on God, don't do it. First off, because He cares, He came for you, but not only He came for you, He cares for you. In that situation, He knows every detail of it more than even you know it. And He has an answer. And this is the sad thing, is many times people will try to jump ship on God before God comes and calms the sea. That's where faith comes in.
is just waiting patiently on God. He does care for you. No, God does care for you. I know we hear that all the time and just kind of, whew. No, He does care for you. He knows every problem you're facing right now. And this is what He says. I just need you to trust me. Don't quit. In fact, determine tonight, I'm going to stick with God. In fact, I'm going to be all in with God from now on. First off, because He came for me when nobody else wanted me. Secondly, He cares for me, and He's done things for me I never deserved. I've got a great wife, family. Never dreamed. This singing and traveling and preaching, now going to Alabama, never dreamed of that. Never. That was never a thought. And how God just, He can change things. His plan's always the best if we'll just stay with Him. I'd say tonight, if you're thinking of quitting on God or just thinking of going back to the old life, remember that He came for you. Remember that He cares for you. But not only that, tonight, I like our passage here. It says in verse number 5 and 6, it says, "And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door or under the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever." He shall serve him forever. So we know this, as the older servant looks at the younger, he says, "I was there the day when he came for you. In fact, he allowed me to be able to help pick you up off the ground and see your life change. He's not only done that, he cares for you. But this is the best thing. He still claims you. He knows who you are more than your spouse knows you. More than your parents, more than anybody. In fact, He knows you better than you. I've said this before, if we had a special screen projector that could hook up to our minds and display everything we've thought in the last 24 hours. Not what you've done, but what you've thought. I don't think there'd be a soul in here. Why? Because He knows who we really are. Yet, this is what He says. I came for you. I care for you. And even though you've had a past, I still claim you as my own, if you're willing. He wants you to stay with Him. This thing of claiming, I was studying this out a little bit and the other here a while back and reading about this. And as the servant would then make that choice, we read it there in verse number 6, it would be a public thing, a public hearing. And there would be the leaders or the magistrates and the leaders of the town or of the city that would sit at the city gates, those the ones in authority at these different places, and they would be invited many times to come to the house and be like a legal binding deal. They got witnesses there to look at this, and many people would be invited. And as this servant would then submit himself to go to the master publicly, that master would then take what is called an awl, and most here probably know what that is, but it's just a round, pointed object, and all the way to a sharp point. And they would take that awl, and that servant would then put his ear up to the doorpost or on the up to the door of the house in front of everybody. And that master would then take that awl and put it on the ear and drive a hole through his ear, signifying this. This servant has yielded himself to me for life, and I want everybody to know about it. Now you got to think about this. This is crazy. People that knew that guy that was in the ditch, who probably did a whole bunch of things to hurt a lot of people, this master was not ashamed enough to say, "I won't take it." No, he said, "I still claim you, even though you have a past." That's big. I know Jim Wolfram. I don't know why God still even wants to use me even that much, because He knows who I really am. I'm wicked as it gets. I should be dead. I should be in prison. You know, there's a whole bunch of things a lot of us have done that nobody else knows. Nobody. Praise God that He still loves us enough to want to claim us publicly.
And so as this older servant would look over at the younger one, and he would say, he not only came for you, he not only cares for you, but he still claims you. That younger servant, but then I can imagine he gets up out of the seat, and boy, he's just saying, boy, you're right. I mean, I remember my life being a wreck, and I remember yielding myself to this master, and I've been serving him. He's been so good to me. I'm going to do this thing. I want everybody to know that I am a servant to this master. Can I just tell you, there's a lot of masters in this world that you can try to serve. Yourself can be a master. A job can be a master. Your TV, your phone, technology, if you're not careful, can be a master. We could go on and on. But the best master you'll ever serve is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He has your best interest in heart. He's not going to hurt you. He might allow things to happen in your life to draw you closer to Him, to make you more into the image of His Son. But He will never do it just to hurt you. No, He's the best master you could ever serve. I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I do know this. The last thing you want to do is quit on God. There might not be anybody in here even thinking about that, but I just remind you, there'll be a day, if you're not going through a valley right now, there'll be a day where a thought will come through your mind, is it even worth pressing forward serving God? And I hope God, if you're not there right now, there'll be a day that'll happen. I hope God reminds you of this message maybe. And He whispers in your ear, I want you to know, when you had lost all hope in the past, I came for you. Your marriage that's nice, and your marriage that I have put back together, and your family's back together, that's because I care for you. And when everybody else would have pitched you out and threw you away and locked the key and threw you in prison because you probably deserve it, I still claim you. I'd say that's a pretty good God to serve. Why would we want to go anywhere else? Tonight I'd like to ask you the question, have you been having thoughts about serving a different master? If you have tonight, we're going to have a time of invitation. I really believe the Lord wants you to make a decision. And I understand this. I believe it's not just a one-time decision. It's a day-to-day decision. I'm going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ today. I'd like to ask you, when's the last time you told Him, I'm all in? You got all of me. You got my wife, my husband, you got my kids, you got my job, the things we drive, the clothes I wear, the house we have. Everything's yours. If you told me to get up right now, move to Africa, and serve you the rest of my life in some village, I would do it. Not that God's ever telling you to do that, but would you be willing? Sold out for God. I'll say this, and then we'll be done. I think a lot of reasons why people, I don't know how to say it other than just get bored with God and church, and it becomes mundane, and it's just kind of a drudgery because they don't have a relationship outside of these walls with God. When they come in, this is just a formality. God wants a personal, close relationship with you every day. And it gets closer when we make a choice, I'm all in. I want God and I want everything that He has to offer. I want to give Him my all. And man, I'm telling you, when you make up your mind that you're not going to just play games with God, God starts doing things you never dreamed of. You never dreamed of. It's the best life you can have. And I wish I was your guys' age when I started doing it. But praise God, no matter where you're at, no matter what your age is tonight, you get all in with God, He can still use you in a mighty, mighty way that your life would bring Him honor and glory. And when you stand before Him one day, you'll hear these words, well done, thou good and faithful. Faithful. You don't get rewarded for a bunch of other stuff and how many people got saved and how many. And praise God, we ought to do the most we can with everything we do. It's not about how many notches in my belt I've led people to the Lord. I'm faithful to keep doing what He said. Just plant the seed like it was said tonight. He does all the work. Just be faithful.
That's what He wants from you and I. If we could have everyone stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Very simplistic message tonight, but we're going to have a time of invitation, and I know your pastor's here. I just want to ask one thing before we pray. Maybe God's speaking to your heart tonight. You say, Brother Jim, there's some things that I'm going through. Don't have to tell anybody about it, but I have to admit there's been a thought or two come through. Is it still worth just going after God, pursuing God, being faithful? Boy, I don't want to quit. I don't want to give up. I want to be faithful. Would you pray for me? Just between you, me, and God, anybody like that in this house tonight?